Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independent and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today has been, or still is, excuse me, has been. We're not at the end. We still have the Christina Liu show. Ann Hirsch.
Okay.
And really, you know, give ourselves the credit for the first segment, informative and very, very important and timely. And then for the second segment, Kate, of course, is wonderful. And you need people like that to bring to your attention all the wonderful things that exist on Long Island. And it is. It's educational, but it's entertainment. It's cultural. It's everything.
It truly backs up being on the Gold Coast.
It's the truth. Because you can go into one of these towns, very nice and easy, and get a restaurant, get a show, and not spend a fortune, which is the most important thing. Actually, this weekend, I know there's a concert at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Shelter Rock. And Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary is going to be presenting there. Actually, it's December 4th at 3 p.m., and it's going to be a great event. And I believe Peter's on the line?
He is. Okay. Peter is on the line and delighted to talk to you, and timing is perfect.
Perfect, perfect. Thank you very much, Peter. No, this is going to be a wonderful, exciting concert come this Sunday. And the rich history of Peter with Peter, Paul, and Mary is just tremendous.
So, well, I thank you. You know, I'm excited about coming, and this is a time for us to be warmed and feel close together with the kind of songs that Peter, Paul, and Mary sang that drew people close together over the years in times of great change in our nation, times of great progress, the civil rights movement, the peace movement, the women's movement, etc. And we'll be singing songs like Blowing in the Wind and Puff the Magic Dragon. Will be for the kids. I'll invite the kids on stage. And everybody will sing Leaving on a Jet Plane together, and we'll remember Mary. It's a music that, even though it's not at the top of the pops, it's kept alive in the churches and synagogues and summer camps of America. So it's very much alive and well, and an honor for me at this advanced age. I'm no longer the youngster to be singing it and sharing it in this way.
Actually, and it's totally coincidental, around 9:30 this morning, I'm here getting ready for the show, and they have music, the segment, and Puff the Magic yes. Dragon was played.
Well, there you
and
are.
And it had nothing to do with you coming on the show, to be honest with you, but it is those kind of songs, Lemon Tree, If I Had a Hammer, they are classics.
It's a legacy that you have, and you never, ever change a channel when it comes on, because you can listen to it over and over again. It's wonderful.
Well, thank you. It's interesting because folk music, unlike other kinds of music, never go out of style. Folk music never goes out of style. Folk music stays heartfelt and relevant and honest. You know, these are songs that were not written for the money. When you hear the traditional songs that really burst the folk music, that go back to England 200, 300, 400 years, and they still sustain, you know this music is going to hang around. And to me, when I see a child on stage, who comes up on stage, who's only 3 or 4 years old, and knows the words to Puff, and I wrote the song with Lenny Lipton, you know, 55 years ago, that is a testament to the staying power of the music.
And not only that, but during the period of time when you were in your prime, let's say, I was a student of the piano, the clarinet, and the guitar. And I can tell you that definitely you were a role model that set a benchmark for those of us who were aspiring at the time to be able to perform better. So it was wide range ramifications listening to your music.
Well, I'm impressed with you. My goodness.
I was just going to say, that was wonderful.
come
and
on.
And I also went to Cornell like you did.
You did not.
Yes, I did. Just like
what
you.
Year did you graduate? What year? Yes, I was at Cornell 19. I graduated in 59, and you graduated in 73.
No, I was there a lot later for a teaching differential, and I was doing the communication department. So it comes a lot later.
Right, but it's quite a spectacular place, and it continues to be a remarkable place where I actually instructed in a class in folk music as an undergraduate. It was called English 355, 356, but it was popularly named Roms and Stump because on Saturdays we had no class except for a sing-along under Dr. Harold Thompson's direction. So it was the only class in all of Cornell that had an undergraduate who was an instructor, and that was myself at the time, and that had only two classes a week, and the third one was joyous. But people who graduated from it at that time and experienced that said that that was one of the most profoundly influential experiences, because when everybody sang together in that time period, it was liberating, because it was such a we care about each other, kumbaya, if you will, moment. And it really, really crossed the divisions. And, you know, we had a large Jewish population as well as a Christian population there. And there were divisions at the time. Certainly there are Jewish fraternities and Christian fraternities, et cetera, et cetera. And there was an era before women were really recognized and acknowledged as being equals. Certainly, you know, there was a glass ceiling that was extraordinary. And so when this music was sung, all of those things seemed to evaporate, and people kind of embraced each other in ways that were remarkable. And it was that experience that led me not to go into the field of experimental psychology when I graduated, which is what I got my degree in, but to go to Greenwich Village and start singing, which is where I met Noel Paul Stuckey and Mary Travers.
Wow, it's amazing the journeys that we wind up taking and where they lead us.
Was it a friend of yours that sort of made the connections as far as the group was concerned?
No. Albert Grossman had the idea for it. He had become my manager. And he was my manager for about a year. And he said, I think that you should make a group. I think that if you were to do that and get a strong female singer and a comedian, because Noel was a comedian, Noel Paul Stuckey was a comedian at the time, and you were to make a group, I think it would be extraordinary. And the kind of group I have in mind is not one where everybody kind of wears the same shirt and looks the same and they blend the voices so you can't tell the individual voices. He said, I think that your individual things that you have to say, as well as the other members of the group, would be a characteristic and a hallmark of this different kind of group. And so it was that when I was in Greenwich Village at the Folklore Center, where they sold guitars and records and books on folk music, on the wall they had all the pictures of all the folk singers in Greenwich Village, and I saw Mary's picture, and I said to Albert, oh my God, who is that? And he said, oh, that's Mary Travers. She'd be great if you could get her to do it. So we went over. He knew her. He introduced me to her. I went up and sang with her. In the meantime, I'd heard Noel Paul Stuckey at the Gaslight, where he was a comedian who would also play. And I had heard him, and I said, I heard the guy at the Gaslight. And Albert said, I'll talk to him. And he talked to him, and he said, he says he doesn't want to do it, but I think he will. In any event, I went up to sing with Mary, and I talked to her, and we sang, and there was something really exciting, but it wasn't there. So I suggested, I understand you know Noel, and you've sung with him accompanying you at the Gaslight. You want to give him a call, and let's go over. And we did that, and the moment we sat down to sing, Mary Had a Little Lamb, which was the song we both Noel didn't know folk music. He was more into jazz and pop, and he had a rock and roll band and classical music. It was magic, and we each took turns doing the lead, and however we did it, it was magical, and I called up Albert Grossman. I said, "This is it, Albert." We started rehearsing the next day, and 7 months later, we performed our first concert, at our first coffee house called the Bitter End, and 3 days later, you couldn't get a ticket, and the rest is history, and here I am now, 56 years later.
So then, your first album was released by Warner Brothers, and then the following year when you did Puff the Magic Dragon, that was based on a poem by a friend of yours from Cornell.
No, actually, he wrote the first part of the poem, and then I completed it, and so we shared in the writing of it, but I wrote the music for it. But in the poem that he wrote, it didn't have the arc, which I added, a dragon lives forever, but not so little girls and boys, which was the whole idea of the separation and the issues that really bring to mind the kind of feeling that that gives Puff its emotional thrust. So I claim credit for part of the writing and for writing the music.
That's amazing. I just have a side question. Like, folk music, and I agree, I like folk music. I always have. I was never into the heavy metal and the different stuff like that. But does folk music, how far back does folk, my recollection of folk music really comes out of Vietnam. But was folk music in the 70s or 80s, or no, am I wrong?
You're
in the 70s,
wrong.
80s, in the 20s and 30s. That's what I mean. Well, it really is something that came out of the Vietnam era.
No. Folk music is, by definition, for instance, if there was a course in folk music when I was at Cornell between 55 and 59, folk music was mainly at that time traditional music. It is defined as traditional music created in a homogeneous ethnic culture. That's before there was, radio. Expressing the hopes, the dreams, the feelings, the thoughts, the disasters, the aspirations of the people, and the stories, like the heartbreak. And that, for instance, you get a 200-year-old folk song that's been traced back in England that far or farther, called Barbara Allen, which is about a couple the male protagonist is in love with Barbara Allen, and she won't see him because she feels that he dissed her, and she won't see him. Then they're separated because of this terrible tragic reality, and she dies, and then he dies, and when they it says and. And when they died, they grew, from his heart there grew a briar, and from her rose, from his her heart there grew a rose, and from, they grew to the steeple top, till they could grow no higher.
Wow.
And there they tied in a true love's knot, and the rose clung round the briar. In Scarlet Town, where I was born, there was a fair maid dwelling, made every youth cry well away. Her name was Barbara Allen. Puff the Magic Dragon is not a folk song, my friend, but it comes from that tradition, and that tradition never ends. And when I see you shortly, I'll sing all of these songs. And in the second half, you can make requests, and then I'll do them, and you'll sing along. Yay!
Very good.
Wow, that's terrific. Actually, I'm going to request you hold on for a second, because we have to take a break. This is exciting. We'll be right back with Peter Arrow. Excuse me, you're listening to 88.1 FM and WCWP.org.